Broadcasting 2.0 for March 15, 2024, episode 171, Misaligned Expectations. Oh, it's Friday once again. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Podcasting 2.0. This is where we take you through a nice luxury stroll of everything that's going on in podcasting. The past, the present, the future, the now. You are welcome in the boardroom, the only boardroom that treats stakeholders like the royalty that they are. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the man who eats popcorn to carb up before every big life moment. Say hello to the one and only Pod Sage, my friend on the other end, Dave Jones.
I don't know about every life moment. But
yeah, no. Melissa told me. Melissa told me all about it. It's like every life moment. Okay. Dave's. Hold on, baby. I gotta get some popcorn. Gotta get ready. Hold on. Meet the beef milkshake. Hold on, baby. Hold on. I'll be right there.
It's in hand as we speak. Yes.
The beef milkshake.
Yeah, you got to balance your macros.
Yes.
Your carbs and your protein and all that stuff. Well, you can't go all carbs or all protein.
Well, it's been a very, very rough day for me.
I can hear it in your voice.
Yes, because
I could hear it as soon as I got on the stream.
So not only has the new media show turned into the AI videos podcasting show.
Oh, AI! This week in AI.
This week in AI and YouTube is a podcast. Come on, guys! I think I carried away. They get carried away.
I'm shocked that Todd and Rob would get carried away about something. That's so surprising.
and they're not fighting. Hey, bring back the fights.
That's the best new media show is when they're flaming each other.
This is no good. We need more flaming. Come on, dudes. Come on. And then, there was no Pod News Weekly review.
Oh, really?
I love you. Oh, really? I never really listened, to be honest about it. I'm so blasé.
I'm gonna fess up. I have not listened to last week's Pod News Weekly review.
Oh, goodness.
I'm so behind on podcasts.
Wow.
It's like, I mean, I kind of gave up
the last two weeks. You're going to have to do a clearing of the cache.
It's so bad.
It's a purge.
It's so bad.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
My Cast-O-Matic is like, it's bloated. It's about to pop. Yeah.
Bloated.
There's cracks forming on the side of it. At some point you just got to like, you know, it's kind of like your inbox where you have 700 unread emails.
Archive.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Control A, delete.
Cause if someone really needs something, they'll get back to you.
Well, I mean, like you said before, I mean, with new media show, I know they'll just talk about the same thing next week, so I don't have to worry about if I miss a show, because it's basically the same show over and over.
Let's catch up on the latest in AI. And actually, you know, Todd had, when he first started doing that, he talked about this some podcast. It's a marketing podcast about using AI in marketing. I'm like, oh, okay, I'll subscribe to that. Let me see if I can find what it's called. And, you know, so now I have a whole bunch of these shows. Like, I can't handle. It's too much.
Dreb Scott said last week he claimed podcast bankruptcy and just deleted everything. I like this.
You got to do it. You got to do it, man. What is the name of that show? Oh, I can't remember now. But it's one of those, it's the marketing AI show and it keeps popping up. I'm like, nah, not today, Satan. And then I'm like, I have to start unsubscribing from stuff. I really do.
Is it the media roundtable? Was that what
No. And I haven't heard the latest media roundtable. And although it's always unclear, I only want to listen to it when James is on. I want to listen to I just want to hear when James is on. Otherwise, if it's a real round table, so often it's like a psych. No, it's just me with some other dude, some professor of podcasting. It's like, no.
I have to admit, I look at the titles of that show and I swipe right a lot of times. I'm like, delete. I can't handle you today.
I know. I learned an interesting thing. This week, on No Agenda, I promote a different modern podcast app every show. I'm now rotating, so everyone gets some love. Uh-huh. And
you know, so I think because you said Castomatic, so I did Castomatic the previous week. And then, you know, like I get an email from Dvorak, you know, he likes it. If something doesn't work, he'll forward it to me. It's like, it's broken. Yeah, you know, so that's
like tech wise.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Anything to do with publishing the show or anything. And they said, one of the apps you promoted. And then some guy, you know, saying, hey, I got the podcast app as you told me, but he literally had something called podcast app.
That's not anything you ever recommended. No. I don't think.
Well, I say podcastapps.com where you can find the modern podcast app. So I thought podcastapps.com would be a great URL, but it's somehow driven people to get the podcast app. And I don't know what it is, but it had ads all over it. It had ads all over it. And it's like, it doesn't work. It didn't get anything. You know, it's not updating. Didn't update within 90 seconds like you promised, Curry. You know,
what
one
is
of those.
The podcast app?
I don't know. I deleted all the mail, so I was so frustrated.
Oh, podcast.app.
No, that's it. Oh, yeah. Let me see.
podcast app is for the curious. Oh. It's the number one most downloaded podcast app.
Oh, I bet.
Probably because it's called podcast app.
Let me see what it looks like. Yeah.
It wasn't
working. Because, you know, one of the features I say is, hey, these modern podcast apps, the update within 90 seconds of me posting.
Mm-hmm. And he said, I downloaded the app and your show's not there yet.
Yeah, it's no good. And and then John forwards it to me. One of the apps you promoted is broken.
I'm blaming you.
No, but this is how people think. So, you know, learning.
Podcast app, I'm trying to make sure, I'm wondering if they might be on the apps page.
No, I don't think so. No, I was looking at, and I've also been promoted podcasting2.org. And yeah, I went there the other day. And, you know, so, and I just went there kind of objectively. It's like, okay, now let's just say I'm a dude listening to No Agenda. Adam Says Podcasting. I want to learn about this. And it says, for audiences, enjoy richer listening and viewing experiences. Podcasting 2.0 lets you follow, engage with support, and share podcasts more easily. And then it says, find a better app. And then it just gives me a whole list. It doesn't tell me. I mean, yeah, if you click on something, it shows me all the features. But it's not it's not telling me what all these great apps do. And I know this is open source, so I would hope that someone writes some marketing there that says, here are the features that these apps do. Here they are listed. You can check out which one of the features they support. But it doesn't say any of that.
For audiences, find a better app. Yeah. The icons are pretty.
No, it's beautiful. And you know, Sam Sethi managed to get listed first. I knew he would do that. He's very smart.
Of course. You know, it's alphabetical, so it starts with T.
No, it's by number of features supported, which is actually an interesting way to do it. I'm cool. It's just there's nothing that tells me as someone who's new, alternative enclosure, boostograms. It doesn't tell me what that is.
It would be cool to have like a description
Well, if you click on it, it goes to basically the namespace description of that tag.
Right.
Not for mere mortals. Sorry, Karen, but it's not for mere mortals.
We'll boost you later. Benefits with this approach.
So now that we have a great marketing site, I would encourage.
Perfect for AI.
Yes.
Right.
AI should be able to take that and then write beautiful descriptions. I'm sure it can do 45 pages, like Todd said. 45 pages of documentation. Yeah. Let the AI loose on it. It'll be fixed in no time. Well, I'm excited. That's a good idea.
Let it write your HTML for you. It don't even have to do anything.
That's a great idea. So I got another one of those. I think I sent you the link that Start9 is now supporting. You know, the open llama, lakadikadingdong.
That's my favorite model.
LLM, the lakadikadingdong LLM. Yeah. So I loaded it up and, you know, the first thing I do is, you know, put in there, let's see if I still have it open. You know, tell me about value for value, the value for value model. And it starts right away by telling me that this was developed by the World Economic Forum. I'm like, okay, there you go.
No.
All right. Good job, boys. Nice.
Negative.
It was the I was like, oh, man. It's just not good for search. It's just not good for search. Comics with Blogger, don't post anything.
I grabbed Stable Diffusion the other day because I was trying to... I've been playing around with the NVIDIA local LLM. So I grabbed the Stable Diffusion one and I was like, well, you know, maybe I'd like to mess around with a local image LLM. And I'm just trying to get my, you know, get my feel for how all this stuff works. And it sucks. It's terrible. I mean, it's horrible. It makes the worst images I've ever seen. I'm sure there's some, I'm sure there's like 27 different plugins.
You're not doing it right.
I'm holding it wrong. You're but, I mean, like, it's awful.
You're
I just said, like...
Yeah, you're not a good PJ, prompt jockey.
I just gave it something simple, like, I want to draw a picture of a dog in a, sitting in a field of flowers or something like that. And it was, like, complete... It looked like a some sort of alien creature, and it was awful. Yeah, this is not good tech.
Well, I mean... Okay, and we need to get off of this in just a moment, but what you know, no agenda. We have noagendaartgenerator.com, and we have 30,000 images for you know 1,600 and what are we at 1,642 episodes, and we have multiple artists always competing to create the album art during the live show that we then use for that episode, and ever since. The AI art generators, it's been increasingly hard to find something that's good because people just, you know, prompt jockey away and yeah, okay. It's rendered pretty, but there's no humor. There's no, you know, it's like there's nothing in there that makes it like, oh, that's a great piece of art. Oh, that's hilarious. Oh, you understood how to portray this one thing we talked about. It's just gotten bad. And even established artists who are doing a lot of hand work, you know, they're now kind of phoning it in. It's destroying creativity.
That, yeah, I don't, all the image LLMs, they all have their own little flavor. And it's like they get, you can tell really almost immediately which one it came from. You know, so you can say, oh, well, that's Midjourney. Oh, that's DALL-E. That's this. Because they all just kind of say, I guess it's just the training set they use and the optimizing that they do. Yeah. They all tend to look the same.
And for some reason, there's a reasonably large contingent of people who want to make podcasting as boring as possible, too. Make the show notes all boring. Make your chapters boring. Make your art boring. And, oh, I can't wait to just have AI-generated voices so it's just all boring. It's going to be great. This, creativity comes from the Lord, our creator, people, not from an AI generator.
Speaking of JCD, y'all had a story the other day about a dog with a box on his head. my wife had where she grew up in South East Tennessee, there was a legendary dog named Jughead. And Jughead got his head stuck. He ran away and got his head stuck in a milk jug or not a milk jug, a milk
carton,
like a some kind of
crate, like a crate.
Some kind of milk. It's like a milk container or something. And it just he ran around with his head stuck in that milk container for like a week.
I'm happy to hear that you listen all the way to the end to hear the good news story. This is very good. I like that.
No, I listen. If I listen to an episode, I usually finish it, I was talking with on the podcast Index Social earlier with somebody about advertising and versus V4V and all this kind of stuff. And I mean, I'm not anti-advertising either. I listen all the way through the ads. I try not to skip ads when I can, even though I've got a download and I could and nobody would know, but I still just feel like
if the ads are, I like my hate listen pivot. I listen to the ads on that because they're products that I probably won't buy. And I always love listening to, what's the company that owns, the software versioning system.
software versioning system.
The one that got hacked. That China basically has all, you know.
Oh, you're talking about like Atlassian or something?
Atlassian, exactly. Atlassian. Okay. And they own a couple of products. One of them is the, isn't it the versioning system, the software?
Yeah.
What's that called?
Yeah, like Jira, maybe?
Jira? Yeah. Anyway.
Confluence?
Confluence. Or, there you go.
Okay.
And all so right. Atlassian advertises on their podcast all the time. With to me, it, you know, they're a technology show. They talk about all kinds of cyber attacks, but never about the one that involves their advertiser. Isn't that interesting?
yeah, it's curious.
So that kind of stuff bugs me. It's interesting you bring that up because I was talking to some. I've been doing a couple of interviews again just to get out there and get some more 2.0 noise in the marketplace where I can.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Jesus and 2.0, man. That's what I'm all about these days.
Okay,
and.
Good combo.
Yeah, it's a combo of champions. And so, and oh, what are we drinking?
This is a LaCroix. I'm clearly speaking to JCD again. I'm clearly on the same. I know exactly why JCD drinks what he drinks when he drinks it.
Mm-hmm.
It's whatever is the cheapest on sale that can be delivered from Amazon. That's the algorithm because I'm on the same algorithm.
Hashtag show beer. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, and I find myself, you know, talking about RSS delivery, and, you know, and just how it is the model for content delivery of the future. And this also comes a little bit into, I talked again to, Zach, from Indie Hub, who is, you know, he's definitely retooling, is going to get RSS feeds. He understands that he, you know, that he's a smart guy and he's way ahead of the curve because he already understands, he comes to it from a Bitcoiner perspective. So he understands Lightning. He also, you know, he looked at Noster and he said, I see the community, he says, but I don't see the delivery system. I said, exactly. I said, you know, we have, you know, the apps are there. Go look at podcasting2.org. You may not understand what the features are, but there are a whole bunch of them that do it. And, you know, so he gets it and saying, you know, so RSS, it really is the delivery mechanism. And right now, the monetization part, really value for value is what works. It's scary. It takes, you know, there's an onboarding process to, you know, with podcasters is one thing. Excuse me. Podcasters, tens of thousands of podcasters are now understanding value for value. Not all of them, certainly not all of them implement it correctly, but boy, I mean, there's a couple of people who just run into the bank with this. And just go look at the Fountain Top 10 and then go listen to those shows, listen to their ask, listen to their thank you segment, how they do it. This Week in Bitcoin, which is, you know, it is now the weekly Twib. Yeah. I look forward to it. You know, it's a good show and I stream 200 sats a minute and I boost him and he gets it. And yes, it's Bitcoin. So that's going to be easier, but there's all kinds of shows that are starting to use this very well. Now bringing artists over that hump. It's really, I don't think any artist gets it, what we're talking about when they first sign up. And I think that Wavelake knows how to talk to artists. There's many other very good choices for them right now. And, I love what Podhome and RSSBlue.com, you know, really 2.0 native hosting companies. They're talking to this contingent differently, but until someone sees sats streaming into their wallet, that's when they go, oh, what is this? It's that moment. And so it's a heavy lift. It's a long lift, but once you see it, and then once you can make that work within your budget of your creation, there's a future there for you. And, you know, you just have to be honest. It's going to be 3% of the audience will actually contribute. But if you figure out how to do the ask and have that feedback loop, whichever way you do it. I mean, look at The Chosen. They raised, you know, $10 million, I think, for their second series. Now they're on their fourth series. And, you know, they thank people by, giving them trips to be on the set. And there's all kinds of different, gamifying things they've put in there. So it works with video, with film as well. So, with the 14,000 independent filmmakers who submit to the Sundance Festival every year, they didn't all have $1 million budget. But the technology has gotten much easier. So anyway, long story, to bring it around to my favorite saying, you cannot monetize the network, because ultimately it's really about the content itself, about what that one show or that one album or that one artist, that's what you want. And the audience cares less and less about some network that is promising to give me more of the same and better, and et cetera, and promote stuff to me. And that's what is now breaking down the streaming model, the streamers. So I'm talking at Paramount Plus, Disney Plus, Hulu, Netflix. There's a new sports conglomerate that's, all your sports will now be behind one big paywall on a streamer. And it's breaking people's minds. It was great in the beginning because you get that, I can watch this whenever I want to watch it. But the Wall Street Journal podcast did a... they had a survey. They put in some of their own, their own experiences with streaming. And I pulled a couple of clips just to accentuate. Oh, okay. They're using words that I love and some that just make so much sense, where you can start to see that, a House of Cards costs, maybe $30, $40 million to do a series, but that's House of Cards. There's a lot of stuff out there that is just, it doesn't have to necessarily be high overhead production. And if you get enough people to look at it in a value for value model, eventually we're going to find stuff that will work. This is a kind of a story about the streaming companies, the problems they're running into. But listen to this this first clip.
First, I want to talk about a relatively new trend you reported on, and that is consumers canceling their streaming subscriptions. Does that have to do with the price hikes we've seen introduced by a number of streaming services?
So you see customers starting to get to a point where their streaming budget, where they're realizing that it's approaching what cable used to be, or just starting to feel really expensive and meaty. And so they're saying, what do I actually need? What am I actually spending my time on? And because those streamers have raised prices, they have kept the simplicity of being able to easily turn them on and off. A lot more consumers have gotten savvier about saying, you know what, I'm going to binge this on Hulu and then I'm going to turn it off, or I'm going to binge this next season on Netflix and then I won't need it again for 2 months until this next show comes out. So I think a much savvier consumer has emerged. And also with inflation and just the rising cost of living, households are saying, how much am I actually spending on entertainment and am I getting full value out of it?
Oh, she used the V word. Uh-oh.
This is totally true. I did this exact thing yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
We watched we watched a series on Netflix. I can't even remember what it was right now. We watched a series on Netflix last month, and then I noticed that Netflix hit my card again. Because we had not been subscribed to it for, almost a year.
Oh.
And then we renewed it to watch one show.
And you canceled.
And then I saw it hit my card again. And I was like, I forgot to cancel that. And so I canceled it. I'm like, well, when something else comes out that we really want to watch, I'll pay for 1 month of it. We'll watch it and then I'll be done. I mean, I did the same thing with Paramount Plus. But basically what we've decided is we will not have more than two streaming video things at any one time.
Oh, look at that. You put yourself in a that's your streaming budget.
Yeah. Because if you don't, you'll end up with, it's worse than cable if you don't watch it.
That's right.
And so we've kind of loosely said, let's try not to have more than, 25 bucks or 30 bucks a month, because we canceled our cable subscription. We had a cable subscription. We canceled that in 2004, and we have not had a cable subscription since then.
So
we were an early cord cutter.
It's very interesting because right away, and this is always to be expected, NAM posts in the boardroom, NAS, VPN, Plex. I like to pay for my content. None of those services offer you even the opportunity to pay for the content, even on a voluntary basis. People say all the time, hey man, get Plex, I'll give you my account. It's all this cool stuff for free. And I always say, thank you, I really appreciate that. But I like to pay for my content. It's kind of a karma thing with me. You know, it's like I live by this, I don't want to die by this. So, you know, I literally ask people to support me. And I give my value out freely without any expectation. You have to have no expectation. How about that for a biblical one, huh? This is my new thing.
I feel kind of the same way. That's why I feel very similar because we buy a lot of stuff. And that's one reason why I want to keep my streaming low is because I just outright buy movies. Not necessarily the disc, but I'll just buy them on a stream or whatever. And so like with all these musicals we've been watching, like I bought Phantom of the Opera the other day. I mean, we just pay for it. I'd rather just as I need it. It may end up actually being costing me more per month.
But I feel like
the actual creator of the thing gets more money when I do that.
So it's now we're at exact. So we're talking about reverse value for value here. You know, people are, you know, they're like, oh, I want this series, so I'm gonna subscribe to Netflix for a month, and then I'm gonna cancel. That's not good for Netflix. That's not good for their bottom line. They're not making. I don't know what it is, but I'm sure they have to have you for an X number of pay periods before you actually start to pay off. And long term, it's just not going to work. And in fact, so you know, there's my you can't monetize the network. The network being the streaming service. Because people just won't have it. They're like, yeah, I just want that one show and I'm going to unsubscribe. Even the whole idea of all these different apps is a problem.
Sarah, I mean, services like Amazon Prime, for example, you can access a couple of other streaming services from that platform. Is there anyone right now trying to streamline the streaming process so maybe someone like Margo can watch everything in one place?
Yeah, so this is an interesting pain point in the streaming world. It remains really fragmented. There are certainly companies like Amazon, YouTube, Apple to a degree that are trying to become more of the gatekeepers, but there are lots of reasons why certain streamers may not want to do that. They want to have their app alone be the destination for streaming to not have consumers start their journey elsewhere. So this is really an unresolved issue for many. Like the smart TV screen is the best shot at a landing page, but it's not terribly searchable. It's not really the dream version of it.
Look at how far ahead we are, ahead of these guys. People, you know, wherever you get your podcast is powerful. It's powerful. And that means that you are using an app that works the way you want it to. And in many cases, if it doesn't work the way you want it to, you can find the developer and make a suggestion. I despise the autoplay of Netflix, and Hulu is doing it now sometimes too. And Amazon.
I hate that. I hate it so much.
It's like, you know, I'm always turning down the volume. You know, if I want a preview, I'll click for a preview. The autoplay is just, it's annoying. The search doesn't work the same. Everything is different. I'm having to bend my mind around different streaming podcast apps, if you will. And this is a problem. They're identifying this very problem, but we want to be gatekeepers. Well, the audience that you're serving doesn't want it, and that's why they're behaving the way they are. And then the third and final clip, this one blew my mind. One of their listeners, and this was not the only person who had this type of behavior. This was very cool.
So let's talk about how companies are responding to such varied consumer behavior. Here's a really interesting example from Sam Rotenberg, who isn't in it for the visuals.
I tend to skew to shows that are more audibly interesting. As I'm walking around the house, I find myself listening to shows more often than I used to, instead of just sitting there and watching them.
So I think this is really interesting because we're not even talking about a consumer watching habit. We're talking about listening. How do companies get a grasp on this, streaming companies, on such a wide range of consumer behavior and how we're not only seeing and viewing, but listening too?
Yeah, this is a real area of interest for them in understanding when and how consumers are using their service, that it's not as obvious as I throw it up on my living room TV screen. For some people, you know, increasingly I've heard lately, they listen to Netflix when they're going to bed, that it's something that helps them fall asleep at night. For young people, there's often multiple screens involved and multiple forms of entertainment happening at once. So really understanding the way in which consumers are accessing this is important for streamers to understand the utility of their services and who is more likely to churn versus stay because the service has become part of their daily lives or not.
Separate the content from the playout experience, people. It's so painfully obvious.
This is true. But I hadn't, this young guy that works for me, I think he's 25. And I've learned so much from this guy, like about Gen Z, and their behaviors about things. One thing I've learned is, tons of Gen Z uses subtitles.
Big time. Oh yeah. This is, I'm using them now. And we did some research on that at No Agenda. Part of it is because of how sound is mixed these days. A lot of it is mixed for theater, for Dolby 5.1. The center channel is often ignored for regular type of viewing.
So it's muddy. It comes through muddy.
But also this has become, because there's so much multiple screens going on, it's become a crutch that Gen Z and millennials, and yeah, I'll even say Gen X, has started to use. I grew up with subtitles in the Netherlands, so it's very comfortable for me. This is why I've always, you know, we've been on transcripts from day one. People really love this, even when they're listening to something. It's a huge part of the experience.
The other thing that he said was that he does exactly what she mentioned. He falls asleep.
Yeah.
To Netflix. And I'm like, how in the world can you do it? It just doesn't make any sense.
Whereas lots of people fall asleep to a podcast. That's why many podcast apps have the sleep timer. And unfortunately, even my wife sometimes says, you know, when I'm traveling, I like to listen to you so I can fall asleep. I'm like, well, this sucks. This is rude.
Yeah, she's going to train herself. And then when she's around you, she's going to fall asleep. It's Pavlovian.
Yes. And syphilitis lethargis, I think is what it's called. So my conclusion from this is a couple of things. One, we're doing great, people. We're doing great. Two,
carry on.
We got something special going on here. Two, I think that that there's still so much room for podcast apps. You know, we have I've said this from the first day we started out on this journey. We have a very set idea of what a podcast app has to be, but everybody now kind of knows that, you know, you've hopped around, you've tried a couple, something works for you for some reason. And so I encourage app developers to solicit feedback to continuously, because that is your customer. That's a whole nother conversation we can have based on what's been going on this week. That is your customer. That is who you are satisfying. There's huge value in what you do. And then I think, in order to move forward with the value for value model, I think there's, this is going to sound weird coming from me, but I would almost want to have a flag in my feed that says, when someone goes to play my podcast, I would like the app to pop up something to remind them it's value for value. Please consider putting in a value per minute or per hour or whatever right now before you continue. And you know, and that's something app developers are going to have to think about themselves, because that may be too intrusive. Maybe that's not what they want for their customers, for their users, which I just think are customers. But there's going to be some middle ground that is needed to remind people. So, for instance, Podcast Guru, which I've been using a lot, I'll subscribe to a show and then I'll completely forget that I have to manually enable the streaming sats per minute for each new show. And I'll be, you know, I'll be on the third time. I'm like, oh crap, I haven't streamed a single sat to this show.
That is definitely a UI thing, because Cast-O-Matic for a V4V enabled show, it puts it right there in front of you. It's not intrusive, but it is, but it's a nice reminder, and it doesn't get in the way, but it's right there, and it'll tell you, you know, you're out of sats. Like you're
that's another
zero
thing.
Or whatever.
Yeah, that's another thing. I really like how Fountain is doing it now. It's right there. There's a little counter going. It doesn't make me feel bad. In fact, it makes me feel good for some reason. I thought, you know, well, if you're showing how many sats you're sending, I might not feel good, but I feel good. I feel good seeing that. Now, they also have a counter on the other side, which says you're earning back this much per minute. That I mean, so these are UX things that are happening that are that need to be encouraged. Don't just think you're there. Think about these people. There are people coming who have things, who cannot get any, cannot steal position in these streamer apps. This is what IndieHub.studio has seen. And I told him as well, it's like, it's not going to work if everyone has to, you know, come into one system and has to set, you know, has to pay a set fee per minute they're watching. You need to make this open, and you, and, but you know, in his app, it's basically a podcast app, he's going to have all kinds of screens or, you know, user experiences that show, hey, this is what you're doing. This is how you can help. This is how you make the whole system function, et cetera. It's all about moving beyond the podcast listener or watcher, even, who is used to ads to this new model. It can't just be, it also does value for value. Consider doing more.
Yeah, I think what you're talking about may be the thing that underlies what it may be the underlying thing of what people are misinterpreting as a quote move to video, you know, like that there's these new sort of listener behaviors that are happening. They're clear. I mean, it's obvious there's new ways that people are consuming media. I mean, that we can't deny that across the board, but it's been interpreted in ways, because I think there's just been some, I mean, forgive me, but clumsy market research that's been done.
Oh, yeah.
So it ends up being like, well, yeah, I use YouTube and, you know, I search for my podcast on YouTube, and it's like, I think maybe there's just not the true message of what's happening is not really coming through.
Yeah.
And then when you look at it, you see these, okay, well, here's how these people are really behaving. And then what does podcasting need to do? Well, first of all, I mean, podcasting is perfectly positioned to take advantage of any use case because it is so flexible. I mean, you can see, I mean, we've seen podcasting be morphed into a music streaming app with like Wavelake and Ellen Beats. I mean, podcasting it's just media delivered over an RSS feed. It is so flexible. You can layer any UI, any experience over the top of it. That's the whole point of podcasting 2.0. The whole point.
Hey, and so I have a new name. You said it's just media over an RSS feed. So instead of Noster, it's Morph.
Morph. What, media over an RSS?
Yeah, Morph. Morph. There you go. Morph.
can we get Bitcoin VC funding?
Easily. Hey, Phoebe, come here. Phoebe's like, you gotta register the domain name, Dad. Okay, let me see if I can get
more. She's yelling at us for leaving Nathan in the lobby. That's what she's doing.
Yeah, let's do that right now. Let's bring in our guest today, because he has been in podcasting 2.0 for quite a while. In fact, I'll give you the brief history. He created Podlink, which was bought by Podsites. Podsites was bought by Spotify. Then they fired him. Since then, he's gone on to create Steno.fm, Transcribe.fm, and has something new to announce today. We welcome to the Podcasting 2.0 board. Board meeting and the boardroom, Nathan Gathright.
Howdy, howdy.
Howdy, howdy.
Hey, girl.
Hey, girl. Howdy, howdy. Yeah, we can be on NPR and Wall Street Journal. There you go. Hey, Nathan, how you doing, man?
Pretty good.
So it's been a while, but maybe a year longer?
Yeah, yeah, just about.
So you want to weigh in on any of the stuff we just talked about?
Oh, I think all the streamers got jealous of Netflix's stock price and they waded into the streaming wars, having never had to ever deal with churn management and realizing, oh, we've let cable networks, you know, have year-long contracts and wire physical wires out to people's houses, all that jazz. And now they join the streaming wars and they're like, oh, churn management is a thing, huh? I guess allowing people to sign up and cancel within a month is not that great for our business model.
Yeah.
Well, they Paramount is... they're close to the end.
They've got Larry Ellison's kid buying up half of their assets.
Yeah, I mean, that is they went all in on Paramount Plus, and it was...
It sucks.
Yikes. Yeah, yikes. It was bad.
Yeah, I think Sony is the legacy media player that has done the smart thing, which is they're just a content arms dealer to everybody else. They'll sell to Netflix, they'll sell to whoever. And I think a lot of these media companies are going to basically retreat to that position, give up whatever their streaming service is, and go back to just selling to everybody else.
That's an interesting idea. I like that, a content arms dealer. That's a funny thing.
Gosh, man, you know what never came up in that conversation? Was Roku.
This is a hard thing in some ways too, because it's like James posted the other day about, you know, I can't believe that Stripe is doing $1 trillion in transaction volume, and you know, so I went and looked at their earnings and stuff, or not earnings, but they're not public
financials or whatever.
Their financials, yeah. And the best, they apparently are still not profitable. And so it's one of those businesses, but they're the second largest payment processor in the world, and they still don't turn a profit.
It's unbelievable.
So you have to wonder about this whole thing. It's like, well, Roku, sometimes you think, oh, well, they're perfectly positioned, they must be doing well, but that's not always the case. The volume, if the margin is low, the volume really doesn't help you. And
when they're really just an app store. You know, they're just store and and that's it. They're like the iPhone of streaming apps, but without all the other stuff, just literally the app store. So anyway,
hey, Nathan, I'm about to click on this link.
Yeah.
The link that I tweeted.
Yes.
I still don't know what it does.
Episodes.fm. I want to take a look at this.
Okay. I clicked on it, and
it's got a fancy green logo, so it makes me feel like climate change right away.
It's more like a radioactive green.
It is. Yeah, it is kind of gooey. Yes, let's see.
Sorting
by popularity, safe, preferred podcast apps, live. What is this? Tell us what this is, Nathan.
Yeah, so after I sold Podlink, I, you know, still wanted to keep working on it, but... I was now a employee of Podsites, and so all my time really had to go to their priorities, and making a tool like Podlink better was pretty low on the to-do list. And especially after Spotify acquired both Podsites and Chartable. Chartable had smart links already. Podlink did not really fit in strategically, so it's just sort of floating adrift within Spotify, being maintained for, you know, some undetermined amount of time. And I didn't want to leave podcasters in the lurch if they ever decided that they were just going to shut it down and ignore it. I've offered to, you know, take over maintenance of it in the past, but no progress on that front. But Episodes FM sort of is my return to the genre of this type of product. So,
wow, I get it. I see what it does now.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm on our show. I'm listening. And then it's got links to all the other apps that will also let you listen to the live stream.
Yeah. So if you click, if you click out to like the show level link, you can also click down into any of your old episode level links. And there's a lot more than six apps on those episodes or on the show level itself. I've got 30 apps in there right now. So
yeah, you got quite a lot.
And when a visitor clicks on one of these things, it sets a cookie on their device to sort of like set their preferred podcast app. There's no device level setting of a preferred podcast app. And we've had efforts like, you know, Fast Follow that are trying to sort of work at this problem. I think
Sorry.
Episode.
I'm playing live. Yeah.
Episodes FM sort of is my approach to that problem, which is, you know, a service that lets you set a preferred podcast app. Subsequent visits after that first time will just take you straight into that app. So you say Fountain is your favorite app. Anytime you ever click on an episodes.fm link in the future, it'll just always go to Fountain. And you won't have to hunt through a list of 30 plus apps every single time to get to the show you want to listen to.
Huh. This
is rad.
Interesting. That's, and now will it also,
it's like Podlink for live.
Live is just one feature though. It's doing it at the show level and at the regular episode level as well.
Oh.
So if you're just, a vanilla person who likes Apple Podcasts, you know, episodes.fm will just take you straight to the show for any podcast on Apple Podcasts, or the episode level link for any episode on Apple Podcasts. And you'll basically never really see this webpage beyond the first time, as long as you have your cookie set.
So the idea is that instead of using your podcast app, you go to episodes.fm.
No, you'd still end up back in your own podcast.
Right. But so if I just say, oh, I want to see Pod News Weekly Review. So I type that in, click, and then I can play the latest episode right away. But I can also say, I always want to listen to this on Overcast. And then it'll set that. And so whenever I go back to episodes.fm, so that would be kind of my starting spot. Like, I want to listen to X, Y, or Z.
Yeah, I think it's really it really only works if a lot of podcasters themselves all use Episodes FM to sort of promote their shows. So maybe you're scrolling through Mastodon and somebody is promoting their show. Instead of like, okay, let me go copy paste the name of this show, hope that there's not some sort of like special character in the name of the show that I got to go
paste into the search thing.
It's really the call to action for podcasters who, instead of just saying wherever you get your podcasts, they can actually provide a call to action that takes the listener straight there without asking the listener to do a lot of like copy pasting.
So straight away, I want to reserve podcasting.episodes.fm, noagenda.episodes.fm. I'd like to buy those from you.
Yeah. So I've got no sort of paid plan in right now, but
I just gave it to you.
I'm definitely planning on supporting custom domains so that if people, you know, want to own their own domain and not be just linking out to some third party service that, you know, could maybe go away one day in the future.
Oh, I could do that. Oh, that would be great. So I could have like could I do a subset where I say, okay, go to currypodcast.com and it shows my, it shows my publisher channel and it shows my pod role.
Yeah. I definitely want to explore a publisher channel. Once a few more people start making those, I definitely want to be supporting publisher channels as well.
You're a smart dude,
shows,
man.
And episodes.
You're a smart dude. You. Yeah. That's very cool. That's a great idea.
Yeah. So tied in with this sort of idea is a couple proposals for the namespace that I have going on. One of which is, hey, there's these six apps right here on like the live link. But if you support the content link tag in your live item, I want to be able to add all of those as well. So if you're also streaming on YouTube or Rumble or Twitch or Facebook or whatever, I want those apps to be able to populate on this list in addition to the six podcast apps. So I'm planning on adding support for the content link tag to sort of parse those links out of live item tags in the RSS feed.
And the content link, content link tag is an existing tag, and what you've proposed is an enhancement to that. Basically, it's a simple change that because you retracted your previous proposal, and now you've switched to just a very simple change, which is allowing the content link to be in the item tag instead of just a live item tag.
Yeah, correct. So I want to support it in Episodes FM for both live items and regular items, so that podcasters can control the control the links on this page without having to like come claim their feed with me and then log into some interface but in some cases it's like, you know, I want a link to Patreon or some sort of like platform that I wouldn't have no way to programmatically find the Patreon link for a given episode. but yeah, you could put a content link tag in your item and say, here's where the Patreon version of this episode exists. Maybe it's an extended edition. Maybe it's just the ad-free version. Things like that, where there is another app where you can get this content, but maybe it's not in this RSS feed.
Could I limit it? So say I only want these to surface?
Right now, no, because I'm sort of like with the sort of cookie-based model, I want visitors to, you know, set that one cookie and then know that they can always go into their show. Like, can always trust that Episodes FM will take them into their preferred podcast app. So I am thinking about that for like the custom domains, maybe like giving you more control in the custom domain setting. But I want sort of episodes.fm domain to be a like reliable service for like, yes, I'm somebody who always listens in, you know, Apple Podcasts. You shouldn't be able to hide the podcasting 2.0 apps. I don't really want to enable that behavior. People, you're like, hey, I'm a big fan of Pocket Cast. You're like, sorry, the podcaster signed up for my service and they only really are aware of the top three apps. I don't really want to enable that behavior.
Right. But it's kind of cool because you have kind of two customers. You have podcasters who will be customers in the future who can have custom setups. And you have listeners who can tailor this to, I guess, to their own needs. That's what it is right now.
Yeah. I think the tension between trying to serve both of those parties who maybe have different goals is the one of the difficult challenges of this, but I think I want to solve that.
You're Nathan Gathright. You can do this.
Eat challenges for breakfast.
You got this.
Yeah.
Wow. That's cool, man. That's very cool. Congratulations. Nice.
Thank you.
Nice reveal. So what are we, Dave? Now we just a promo show and we got the Buzzsprout guys want to promote their iOS app. You know, it's like Booberry wants to promote his show. I mean, we're just like a regular show now. We're like the Tonight Show. Promote your movie.
We should be getting a piece of the action, but that wouldn't work for Nathan because he's not making any money. So, yeah.
One of the things I want to call out is the OP3 integration. So specifically because Podcasting 2.0 has OP3 in their RSS feed, the sort order is based on Podcasting 2.0's ranking of top apps.
All right. So
I don't understand that. Can you explain that?
I got
what
it.
You just said? So, you know, if you look at Libsyn's like ranking of top apps, you know, Apple Podcasts will be number one. And, on like Pod News, you know, Pod News podcast pages maybe like filter out the apps that aren't relevant for your user agent. Sort of an alternative approach to that is I just say, well, what about the OP3 stats for this exact show? I can put the Podcasting 2.0 apps at the very top of the list for Podcasting 2.0 because, or Pod News Weekly Review or any of these apps where a significant portion of their audience is coming from these more niche apps. I can put it at the top of the ranking because I know that's where the existing audience is. This new listener probably also will want to listen where the existing audience is.
Tell us about the search. How are you implementing this search?
At the top level, the search is just doing iTunes search because a lot of these platforms really rely on the iTunes ID as their link. Like you cannot link to an Overcast page without a show having an iTunes ID, things like that. So I want to make that better, but right now it's just using the iTunes lookup to find these shows. But then it's querying the podcast index for most of the data.
Got it.
So let me let's see episodes. So let me ask you this. Cool. So are you doing this in this OP3 check? Are you doing that in real time?
Yeah.
Because the live stream. I mean, that must be happening. That's happening now.
Yeah. Like the OP3 check is really kind of just to sort the apps. It's not deciding what apps to. It doesn't have like the episode specific link for Podverse. It's just linking to the show page. And then the listener has to click in from the show page to the live episode themselves. But I maintain that repository full of all the URL link patterns for show level and episode level links. If the Podcasting 2.0 apps that support live want to provide a like sort of like programmatic way that I could link straight to the live stream, I'd be happy to support that for any of these like apps that we have.
So I go to Podcasting 2.0. It shows Podverse at the top, then Apple Podcasts, Pocket Cast. This is based upon the OP3 data?
Yes. So it's the OP3 data combined with the the user agent of the device that you're on. So if you view this exact same page on an Android phone or an iPhone or a Mac, the sort order is all going to be slightly different.
Of course.
Let me do that. Let me check my phone. I'm going to try that too.
Yeah.
I'll be right back. No.
That's very interesting.
Yeah. Okay. Spurlock released some new APIs for me this week that basically let you get the global ranking of apps for a given user agent or for a given device. So on Android phones, there's still, you know, downloads that are being attributed to Apple Podcasts. Maybe they're listening in the web player. Maybe it's apps.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Stealing Apple Podcasts as user agent, something.
Let me tell you. So
it's different now.
On my web browser, Brave, I get Podverse, Apple Podcasts, Pocket Cast, G-Podder, Player FM. On my Android, also Brave, Fountain, Podverse, Podcast Attic, Antenna Pod, Podcast Guru. This is dynamite, man. This is very interesting.
And I'm on the iPhone, so I get Fountain, Podverse, Overcast, Apple Podcast, Podcast Guru, Castbox.
Yeah. Oh, Overcast does show up on my list, which is impossible on the Android, but it's way down the list. So that's
you broke it.
I don't hide any apps.
You don't
apps.
Hide anything. Yeah, I got
you. Yeah, they all just get shuffled further down the page if they don't have a significant market share on that device type.
Fabulous. I love it.
And I'm assuming that for the live stuff that you've probably just got, do you have hard-coded just the apps that support live and then you just shuffle them according to what the order is in Mobi 3?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
How's
that's amazing, man. This is really cool.
How's transcribe.fm doing?
You know, it's not quite taken off. I think it's essentially just like a wrapper around the Deepgram transcription service, but lets you pay in Satoshi. So I haven't really been able to devote, you know, more resources to figuring out what else it could become besides just that. You know, it hasn't paid for, you know, its own domain name just yet. .fm domains are pricier than people are willing to pay SATs for transcripts, but
yeah. See, I would love to use it, but you know what my problem is I need speaker labels.
Yeah. It does the speaker identification and it throws in, you know, speaker one, speaker two, and it'll get confused by all the little ISOs and other soundboard things of, are those additional speakers? Is it the same speaker? So Deepgram is not so fantastic at that. I can see why Fountain and Transistor and other people
don't use it. They don't do it. Right.
They don't support any of that. So I wasn't really going to like do the engineering effort to build that on my own. It was like, if Deepgram, implements something like that, then happy to pull those innovations into Transcribe.
I'll switch away from Otter the minute you have that. I mean, cause it, I have to say, I'm pretty impressed with Otter. It's also gotten a little bit faster, but, you know, if I haven't spoken to, I forget what it was. Even with this show, it'll probably pick up your voice and auto detect and tag your speaker number as you in this episode. It's good at that. I mean,
all that sort of like fingerprinting thing is beyond me, but very interesting.
Yeah, no, because that's the only reason why I don't use you, because I'd really love to support you, but it's just, you know.
Yeah, I get it.
And you kind of got Sherlock too by Apple Podcast Transcript.
A little bit. It also supports a Lightning payment API, so you can, without even using the interface, it's called the L402 API, which is basically provide a URL to a piece of audio and ask, it's like, hey, I'd like to transcribe this. I look at the duration, I generate an invoice, I send that back to you. You pay that invoice and send back like the sort of like proof of payment with a second API request and then receive the full transcript. So I think like there's something there in building Lightning payment APIs for various services. Like if TrueFans wants to transcribe things and just wants to, you know, just pay a third party service. I want to see, you know, Podverse and TrueFans and maybe some other parties maybe make some services that they use, you know, they build it for themselves, but then they allow other podcasting apps to also take advantage of it and be compensated for that effort.
Oh, cool. Very cool.
Can we talk about the follow tag?
Yeah. Because,
you know, what had happened is, you know, we had this, I guess we had this idea of putting content links, or you had proposed putting content links into the feed for all the different places where a show would live. So for all the Spotify tags, Spotify links, I mean, all these different places you could watch the show. It's similar. I mean, it's the content link. But then Kevin from Buzzsprout said, well, you know, that's for a hosting company that has 300,000 feeds. Bandwidth is always an issue. If you make is every little addition to the RSS feed causes their cost to go up by a large amount just because of the volume. And so rather than putting, you know, 50 content links in each item, you had said, well, why don't we change this structure around and put all the follow links, put all the content links into an external file and then link to it with a tag. Do you want to flesh that out a bit?
Yeah. So initially I was imagining content link. It could scale from live item to channel. And I've just sort of walked that back and say like, okay, content link, it's just for live item and item is my proposal. If you put 50 of them in for, you know, you don't really have 50 live streaming platforms, but you know, say you put like three in for live item, maybe you want to put two or three in at the item level. And maybe you don't do it for every single episode. Maybe you just do it, for like, hey, I'm putting in one link per episode, you know, cause Patreon, and that's all you do. Or maybe one link per episode for the YouTube video for this episode. Let that be sort of at the like discretion of, the podcaster, but the follow tag would be separate for the channel. And so there'd be an external JSON file to link out to Podverse, Apple, Spotify, Overcast, whatever. So obviously Episodes FM has like 30 plus links here that I'm able to get programmatically. There's another 30 links that I can't get programmatically. You know, the YouTube playlist for a show is not something that is as easy for me to find as the Apple Podcast URL for a show, given an RSS feed, that sort of thing. So if podcasters want to add more apps to their Episodes FM page, I want to give them a way to do that in the feed without having to come claim their show and then manually add those links. And if you're hosted on Buzzsprout or Transistor, your webpage already includes those links. There already is some part of the admin UI where they can say like, oh yeah, here's my Amazon Music link and here's my XYZ link and whatever. So the podcast follow tag is just my proposal for, hey, this should be in the feed too. The feed is the way that the podcaster or the host, it's their API with all the players and all the other services. I'd love for them to put all those links in a JSON file to sort of be a self-verification method. So I can say like, okay, I could go use Amazon Music's API that's behind a, you know, NDA and 10 other signatures. I tried to do this when I was still running Podlink, reached out to people at Amazon Music, tried to get an Amazon Music button on the page. And it was nearly impossible because of Spotify legal had to review a contract and then Amazon Music had to review a contract. I'm like, I just want to link to a podcast on your platform.
No,
I'm not trying to.
Yeah.
Like, why do lawyers need to be involved when I just want to like grab a link? And Amazon Music just couldn't make that easy for me. And Spotify couldn't make that easy for me. And I was like, you know, this is really between the podcasters and the listeners.
Yeah.
The podcasters should be able to provide the links to their shows.
Amen.
And they shouldn't have to go through me as a middleman, that it should just be in the RSS feed. So I think the follow tag is, after, you know, hearing Buzzsprout's argument of like, yeah, we're not going to add, you know, 10 or even, you know, much less 50 links to various platforms right in the feed itself. Maybe we'll link it in a JSON file. I, you know, sort of rewrote the proposal to sort of split those two use cases. So channel level links in a podcast follow tag, item or live item links in a content link tag.
Because yeah, looking at your schema or your JSON structure here, it's very simplistic. I mean, there's different types of things. So you have like a basic example and then you have some social links. I mean, I guess the first thing that hits me is, I mean, is there some need for like a type parameter or a type property that differentiates these things?
Yeah, there could be.
This is a media link and this other one is a social link or...
Yeah, in my mind, every single link should refer to this show and whatever this show means. And presumably it has equivalent, sub items for episodes. Just, you know, the same sort of thing like that. Like, yes, you might have a you know, a social interact tag that has all the same information in it. I didn't really think social links would be, you know, a compelling use case here. It was just sort of fleshing out what you were talking about with trying to get links like to that extent. But I think the basic example and the multiple links to the same domain example are the two that I think are really interesting. But type, I really was just trying to keep this as like bare bones as possible so that hosts don't have a lot more UI, don't have to add any more UI to their existing interface where they let podcasters like supply additional links beyond what they're doing right now. I think, any app that like wants to parse these, they can just look at the domain name and group them for their own purposes. Just because some podcaster throws any arbitrary link in here doesn't mean I'm going to show it on Episodes FM. I'm going to check against like an allow list and say like, do I already have an icon for this app? Like I'll show Rumble because I have a Rumble icon, but I'm not going to show some, you know, xyz.com link just because you put it in your RSS feed. So I'm, you know, trying to serve the needs of the listeners and the podcasters and trying to strike a right happy balance in between those two things.
Yeah, I think that makes sense because this looks essentially like a programmatic way to do, to like deliver a link tree or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Along with your show.
Episodes FM kind of is a link tree type service in and of itself. And I
just like link tree for podcasts.
VC, give that guy some money.
I did talk to the Linktree CEO soon after I sold Podlink, and he was like, "Oh, we were kind of interested. Shame you already sold it." Yeah, and they ended up acquiring Song.link, which eventually themselves, you know, a couple years after I started Podlink, opened up Pods.link. And I was like, "Oh, relate to the party if you're having to go buy Pods.link."
Wow,
it just seems like a good idea to deliver that as part of the, as tied to the feed.
Yeah. That way you don't have to have, the source, you know, of truth.
Yeah. Yeah. The feed itself is saying here's where you can find this other stuff. You know, I think that makes a whole lot of sense. This is, so the other one you had was the country tag, and this is, it's, you know, we haven't had a good flame war in a while.
Metadata drama was pretty big as far as I'm concerned.
Until this week is what I was going to say. Like, and then we had some face melting, you know, nobody got muted or blocked that I know of, but the country tag almost became that too. Everybody's like, "This sucks." And I'm like, "Okay, well, people have such like intense like feelings about the country tag." And I was like, "Okay." I mean, it's so Benjamin Bellamy, you know, he wanted this, and it's basically just the country of origin. It's just tagging the feed with the country of origin that the podcast is from.
Yeah.
That's it, right?
No, that's
easy
it.
To me.
I think the problem is most podcast apps don't really have a use for that. But if you look at Apple Podcasts, they have a storefront that's unique for every single show. So their Discover, you know, homepage to get you into new shows is precisely divided along those lines. And that's never been in the feed. So for the same reason that I proposed like the update frequency tag, I thought, you know, things that end up in Apple Podcasts, it would be great if they had a source of truth in the feed. So I could see this influencing, you know, if Apple ever decides to, you know, use this tag to help them identify shows that are up and coming in a given country, you know, maybe that's useful. You can see that True Fans has a little toggle for searching by that. It can be useful in those sorts of use cases, but if you're not going to pitch a use case that really takes advantage of this and works, whether this has low adoption or high adoption, I think a lot of the tags really sort of suffer from, like, the reason people want to deprecate some tags is because they have minimal utility at low adoption rates. And any proposal I've written, I try to make sure that it still has utility, even if it has a really low adoption rate, so that the flywheel is greased from, this app supports it, so now these hosts support it. Now these hosts support it, now this app supports it. And you can get that virtuous cycle that increases adoption, but it doesn't have to wait until 100% adoption before it's useful.
I understand the hesitancy about the country tag, or the That's not the right word. I understand people that may look at it and say that's a useless tag. I'm sympathetic to that, but at the same time, I can see it from the other side too, because for me, this tag does not excite me in the least, but that's because the U.S. has a gigantic, dominance within podcasting. So what if you're just another podcast from the U.S.? It's kind of an irrelevant thing. But I think from Benjamin's standpoint, French podcasting, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
And, or Italian, if you're an Italian podcaster, those are smaller communities, and it sort of, it has meaning to it within that culture that you are a French podcast, or that you're even produced in France. So I think that if you're a podcaster in, do you remember, Adam, that guy that sent us a link to an OPML file with 100 podcasts from Kazakhstan?
Yes. Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're in Kazakhstan and there's only 100 podcasts in the entire country.
Yeah. It's good for exclusionary searches.
Yeah. And it kind of puts you, it identifies you in this little class. I mean, the same thing that iPodder did. Was separated by geographic region. I don't know. There's a little bit of a, I think the bigger your podcast's zone is, for lack of a better term, then the less meaningful this is to you. But the smaller your community, I can see this being pretty meaningful. I'm really not opposed to it. These kind of tags, I think I've said this before, that these tags that may have limited usefulness, low usefulness at a low adoption rate, these things just don't bother me, because if somebody is out there, here's my thing. If it never hurts to have more information in the feed, there's never a time when having more metadata in the feed is a bad thing. So even if most or a lot of platforms ignore it, if there's one platform or app out there that sees this metadata in there and says, oh, that's kind of cool, and comes up with a cool use case for it, it's a win. It's a win maybe for, let's say, out of 400,000 active podcasts, it's a win for maybe 700 of them. That's fine. It's still a win. I don't see the downside for that.
Yeah, I don't think the podcast apps need to all act in lockstep to support all features. Part of the reason I made Steno FM was specifically to sort of demonstrate a different UX to transcripts than I was seeing any of the other 2.0 apps adopt. They were all sort of doing a caption style, a la YouTube will show one line at a time. And I was like, I really want to see read the whole thing while I'm listening. And that's the sort of UX that Apple Podcasts ended up going with. For that same sort of reason, I think a bunch of the other tags that have low adoption rate, that's fine. It's not like we are not trying to have everybody act in lockstep. If a tag doesn't prove useful now, but maybe proves useful, 2 years from now, we shouldn't have removed it in the meanwhile. I don't really see what the advantage is of taking some tags out of the namespace, because they're not proving, because they're not reaching high adoption right now. Is there some sort of, besides true fans, I don't know any app that is actively trying to make sure they check off every single box. Content link and follow and are
create,
two tags.
And create new ones that don't exist.
Yeah. Follow are two tags that I don't see most of the podcast apps actually adopting. But services like Episodes FM and other things that come along, I think they make total sense for. So it's not that we need to all be copying each other and having the exact same UX in all these various apps in order to pressure the more, the bigger, more market share apps. I think we can all just sort of carve our own path, and it's a marketplace of ideas to see what features listeners are actually clamoring for.
Yeah, I agree. And some of these are visionary things that they look, they're really ambitious in what they want. And so you have this sort of trickle, trickle, trickle. And who knows? I mean, 5 years from now, all of a sudden, this may be a specific use case comes up, a specific app begins to use this in a neat way, and then lots of people do it. I mean, look at what just happened with transcripts. Now, transcripts was a successful tag from the beginning, but it did not. All of a sudden, it has now gone into a launch phase because Apple Podcast adopted it, and now, you know, it triggered this waterfall of Libsyn and other hosting companies hurrying to adopt the tag. So it doesn't take much to have a tag go from, you know, just meh adoption rate to something really impressive in a short period of time. And I don't feel comfortable putting arbitrary limits on how long that process is supposed to take. I mean, look at RSS 2.0. Look at the original RSS 2.0 spec. There's still elements in there that are not used today very often, like the source element. I mean, you never see that tag in use, but it's still in the spec. And if you ask Dave Weiner to remove it, he's gonna block you.
Block you.
Yeah.
Dave, I don't want to be the party pooper here, but it's 1:48 and you have a hard out because you are single-handedly taking care of tax returns for all of the state of Alabama's commercial sector.
Yes, I am. Okay. Yeah. We want to thank some people.
Yeah. Well, yeah, actually we can kind of do a two-prong thing here because we're getting a lot of live boosts and some of them are responsive to the conversation. So we'll kick it off with that. And I want to thank Stephen B for testing whatever he's testing during the show, because it makes it sound very active. He's testing the split kit soundboard, different sounds for sats.
There's a lot of pew-pews happening.
He's a big pew-pew. Anonymous with the Row of Ducks, 2222. Thank you very much. So Stephen B. is sending all kinds of amounts. He's testing something with a soundboard, which sounds exciting. Chad F. with 2222. He says, hearing a lot of pews, just wanted to feel included. Pew pressure. Woo, that's a good one. Pew pressure. I like that. Sam Sethi, Colin, 5,000 sats. Colin, tri-tag. Colin, I'm not sure. Tri-tag is step one. Great for analytics, also showing podcasts in your country on the homepage. This works best for international. If you combine this with the location tag, you get the best geolocation. Do we understand exactly what he's saying there?
He was saying country tag, not contract.
Okay. Yeah. I think you're right. That's autocorrect. Thanks, Apple. Country tag. Yes, I think you're right. Another 5,000 sats from Sam Sethi. Here you go. This is for you. Asking for a friend, but why why would any app want to show links via the content link to external apps? We work hard to get users to use our app. The first thing we don't want to show is other apps, and I still don't understand the follow idea.
I think this is the first tag not for Sam Sethi.
Yeah. There's an answer.
Move along.
There are more apps in the ecosystem than just podcast players. Episodes FM is now one. There's other services out there. And we're going to use this tag. And it's not for the podcast players themselves. It's for getting listeners to you.
In the way that
Episodes FM is a podcast app link tree, you know, true fans will always be on that list.
It's a funnel. It's a podcast funnel.
Yeah.
1,000 sats from Dovidas. He says, happy 25th birthday, RSS. Yeah, that's right. It is 25th birthday of RSS. another 5,000 from San Sessi. We do want to use the transcribe.fm. Love L.402. Like Adam, though, I need to link speaker link to person tag, which is what we do today. Yes, that's understood. 3333 from Circus Media. Another informative and entertaining board meeting. Thank you for your courage, gentlemen. Circus Media. And then 13696 from Booberry. This is an ad. 1 week into bringing this 12-rod stream to life. This is the next concert he's working on. And holy wow, we have covered a ton of ground already. We've got a mock-up live is lit sign, banner sewn, ready to be painted, camera angles nailed, lighting quotes squared away, RSS feeds have been made. We've got GIF art, screen-printed art for T-shirts. We're going to be onboarding 3 bands for this show alone. And the venue gets a feed. I think he meant split, but the venue gets a feed. Maybe they get a feed. I don't know. And he sends in another 13696 boost saying that there's going to be a goat drive What's a goat drive, you ask? The boardroom asks. He or she with the most goats murdered by the end of the 10-minute round will win a prize. That's on the Behind the Schemes. That'll be after No Agenda this Sunday live. So, yeah, whenever you boost the right amount, a goat gets slaughtered. It's a very friendly show. 5150 from the Tone Wrecker. Kapow. Thank you, brother. And let me see. Then I hit the delimiter. So, yeah, you're up, Dave.
Let's see. We've got a couple of PayPals. They're related. There is a
they're in a relationship.
They're in a relationship with each other. $300 from the boys at Blueberry. The boys and girls at Blueberry.
Oh, thank you, boys. Ballers,
shot caller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
Thank you.
There is no. There is a note. The note is go podcasting.
Go podcasting. I got you. Nice.
And a $30 a month new subscription from Todd and Rob at New Media Show.
Oh, thank you, boys. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
I feel bad that we ragged on them.
No, they love it. That's how it goes.
I know. Hey, New Media Show. Oh, we tagged them.
Yeah. Thanks for that, Rob. Todd, appreciate that. Todd from Northern Virginia says, Big Satchel Richards, 11111, nice. Through the Podcast Index website, says, Dave, I'm fascinated by the beef milkshake. Could you spend 30 seconds to explain what it is, and most importantly, why? I don't need 30 seconds. It is three ice cubes. This is in a blender. Three ice cubes, a cup of milk, a scoop of whey protein isolate, and a scoop of Equip Foods grass-fed beef protein, hydrolyzed beef protein from equipfoods.com. That is the recipe. Enjoy.
Yummy yum.
The Equip Foods thing is chocolate. Specifically, it's chocolate. It's a little pricey, but it's high quality.
Beautiful. Yum.
That's the one I want.
Okay. Let's see. We got Gene Everett, 1111, Small Satchel Richards. He just says, boost.
Ah, thank you very much.
Boost. Another one from Gene Everett, 8888. And he says, that's through Fountain. He says, boost, boost, boost.
Yes, yes, yes.
Boost, boost, boost.
3333 from Gene Everett says, boost.
I'm running out.
he's on fire. Now he's got a 2222. He is. He's like a countdown or something. He's doing like a... Like 3, 2, 1. Mm. I'm afraid something's going to happen on the next one. Something's going to blow up. He's going to hack my computer. We got Mere Mortals. Mere Mortals podcast 2222 Road Ducks through True Fans. He says, app development must be hard. It is, isn't it, Nathan?
Yeah.
I was showcasing V4V music at my BTC meetup, and some people tried searching by category. Others wanted to play right away. Others looked for non-V4V artists. I'd regrow my hair just to pull it out again if I tried building an app.
Yeah.
So this is classic behavior, and I'm sure, Nathan, you've experienced this dozens of times. You get everything working perfectly in your app. It's polished. It's working great. You're like, hey, you hand it to somebody and like, hey, check this out. And the first thing they try to do is something you never anticipated. And you're like, oh, crap. they do something
that's
and it breaks.
That's usually my job. Hey, how come it doesn't do this?
Yep. Or you're like, oh, I never even thought that that they would try to type that into this thing.
My favorite, that's a classic sort of, user research problem where a designer will say like, oh, and then they'll do this and then they'll do this. And I'm like, all right, let's put it in front of some people. Like, let's just put the mockups. Let's not build it. And let's just put those mockups in front of, five people and see if they do what you expect or whether your expectations were misaligned with the average person will do.
Exactly.
And it's there's a GIF of, some people, you know, drinking a glass of water wrong, like they're licking the side, they're trying to drink from the bottom. And I just posted it in the chat. This is my just sort of like favorite UX research meme.
That's very funny.
My favorite is the one with the person who keeps putting all the shapes in the square hole.
I like this
misaligned. What'd you say? Misaligned incentives.
Misaligned expectations.
Misaligned expectations.
I'm totally reposting that. That's great.
I lean a lot into that when I am designing to say, you know, the user is going to expect this to behave this way. I'm going to use that to my advantage.
this is a very
podcasting. That needs to be a t-shirt. Podcasting 2.0. Misaligned expectations. Gene Bean 2222. He says, yes, Dave, I think sharing the data for an LLM is fine. Okay, well, cool. Because yes. I gave it to him.
Yep. Hey, that's a very famous company, actually. It's
we can't say it. They want to keep it on the down low. So
we cannot say
the name.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah, I asked specifically. Oh, and I was okay.
All right.
And they were like, no, let's not say that. I was like, okay. Gene Everett, 5555 through Fountain. He says, boost, boost, boost. Yeah, this is a countdown. So we got a 7777. There's got to be a 6666 in here somewhere.
Please.
That was dangerously close to the mark of Satan.
No.
Mere Mortals podcast, Satchel of Richards, a small one. He says, whoops, forgot to boost last week. Love what Fountain has done with incorporating social features into podcasting. It was a lonelier time when they weren't around. I used to feel like I came into P2.0 late, but now I can be an old timer and start my sentences with, I remember when. It feels good to be a hipster.
When I was a kid.
Yeah, back in the day. Let's see. Oh, user, this boost of 105 sats is from user 213988871.
On Fountain?
On Fountain, yes. And he says, the trusted. Okay.
All right. Thank you. You are trusted.
Yeah. Thank you, Gene Everett, for that 4444 boost of the. See, and there it is. 6666 from Gene Everett.
Oh, there it is.
He says, boost the toot. Okay.
Yes. I always say, boost the toot. Retweet the tweet, boost the toot / the X.
Nah. Oh, and here we go. Delimiter, comic strip blogger, 23,000 sats through Fountain. He says, howdy, Dave and Adam. Please inform your audience by visiting my cartoon blog at www.csb.lol and encourage them to follow me on Twitter or x.com/CSB. All followers will have the privilege of asking me up to 3 questions daily. Yo, CSB.
Hey, rare self-promotion. A rare one.
What a special privilege that is.
A second prize, 6 questions.
Let's see.
We have a late comer boost from J Moon, 10,033 sats. He says, I was going to tally boost you, but I looked at the fees. Never mind. So, yes, it's on chain. Thank you.
Thank you. I feel you.
Yeah.
Oh, this is great. I sent my brother-in-law. He did my personal taxes. And so I was like, let me pay you. He's like, yeah, you don't have to pay me. I was like, no, I'm going to pay you. I said, let me just send you some Bitcoin. And he was like, okay, sure. So I got him. He got on the Strike app. Mm-hmm. And I sent it to him. I sent him like $200 worth of Bitcoin. And like I did that yesterday. And within like 5 minutes, it was down like 5%. I was like, it's usually not like this. I'm sorry.
buy more. It's up above 70 again. So.
Really? I was like, this is where your natural.
Isn't it great? Don't you love Bitcoin?
Did you get the one from Kyron?
Boober, he said 2222. The venue we're streaming from, Taylor Sound, is going to get set up with their own RSS feed to release concerts on. Okay, great. That's good. That's what he was talking about. Nice.
Okay. Let's see. I'm trying to make sure that I got,
is that it?
I think I had some come in after, Yeah, these came in after the delimiter, I think.
I didn't see anything after the delimiter. I can double check, but
I got one from Debased Ghost.
I don't have that one.
Can the music and this is 11,000 sats. Can the music in the podcast index be made available to DJ in the same way SoundCloud, Tidal, and Apple Music tracks are? Bonus points if a recorded DJ set automatically timestamps tracks to publish a music podcast with song links. Double dog points if algorithm enables streaming sats while DJing in the app. Well, I mean, yeah, all this is...
Yeah, it's all possible.
Yeah, for sure.
But is he asking for a DJing app that allows you to DJ and mix stuff?
I don't know. Maybe you can tell us more what you're
specifically talking about. Yeah, send a longer boost with a higher amount. So we can get to it earlier.
Yeah. And then we had another one from Kyron, 2222. I think these are just ones that I missed. Love the two of you together analyzing the high-level PIC stuff. Helps make sense of things that are distracting. I'm making a more active effort to support V4V projects like Booberry's show, bug testing, true fans, and chatting with app devs like Jason. I believe V4V will win regardless, but don't want my complacency to demoralize actual builders and devs.
There you go. That's what we need, a lot more of that thinking.
We got some monthlies. We got Christopher Harabarek, $10. Thank you, Christopher. Mitch Downey, $10. Run for cover, Mitch. Heads down. Terry Keller, $5. Chris Cowan, $5. Damon Kasajak, $15. Paul Saltzman, $22.22. Yaron Rosenstein, $1. Derek J. Visker, the best name in podcasting, $21. Jeremy Gerds, $5. And Michael Hall, $5.50. And that's our group.
Thank you all for supporting Podcasting 2.0. You're not just supporting the podcast, but you're really supporting the entire project. Dave and I get none of this. We just put it onto the node for opening up channels for people who need liquidity. Hit me up if you need that on podcastindex.social. I just got another request, so make sure you do that. That's what it's there for. And if you go to podcastindex.org, down at the bottom, there's two red donate buttons, one for your PayPal fiat fund coupons. We love those. And Tally Coin, if the fees aren't too high. But what we really want you to do is go to newpodcastapps.com and grab yourself a modern podcast app, fill up that wallet, and boost us through the modern system. Everybody wins that way. Thank you so much for supporting Podcasting 2.0. And Nathan, sorry that we're a little short today, but I think we got a lot of good info out of you and a good product launch.
Yeah, appreciate it.
We're happy to launch products. I think
everybody knows my tax season day job, so it's a deadline day today, so I got to get back to work.
Yeah, no worries.
No worries. All right, Nathan, have yourself a great weekend. I'm sure you come on after somebody buys this and then fires you. So we'll be seeing you soon, no doubt. Dave, take care of the corporations there in Alabama. Thank you very much, Boardroom, and everybody have a great weekend.
Thanks, guys. See y'all.
Okay. Bye. All right, brothers. Take care. And that's it. We'll be back next Friday right here, Podcasting 2.0, to bring you all the latest that's going down, the past, the present, the future, and the now of podcasting.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting! You're not doing it right.
I'm holding it wrong.